Well, we're in a series called The Fruit of the Spirit. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And when the Bible tells us that we are a new creation, that is not just some pretty religious sounding words. This is a spiritual truth. You are, if you're born again, you're a new creation. That's who you are in Christ. People make a terrible error when they say things like, oh, well, I'm just like anybody else except I have Jesus. Oh, no, no, no. You're a new creation, a new creature, totally different. You're not supposed to live just like before, except you got Jesus. No, you've been changed from the inside out, a new creation in Christ. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. And I want to tell you that God has a new life for us to live. And part of that life is that we learn to walk in the Spirit and we see the fruit of the Spirit developed in our life. Now, you know, a lot of the time we struggle still with that old nature. We struggle still with feeling like the same old person, maybe. One little polar bear cub, he went to his mother and said, y'all watch cartoons, you know animals can talk, right? He went to his mother and said, Mom, am I really a polar bear? She said, well, of course you are, sweetheart. He went out and he found his dad out on an iceberg. He said, Dad, am I really a polar bear? He said, yes, you're a polar bear. The next day, the same kinds of questions continued. He asked his dad, he said, so you're a polar bear, Mom's a polar bear. Does that make me a polar bear? He said, yes, you're 100% pure polar bear. But the questions just kept coming, and so finally they just asked him, he said, why do you keep asking us if you're a polar bear? He said, because I'm freezing. And you know what? Sometimes we're born again, we're a new creation in Christ, but we're still feeling those same draws, those same old impulses. We're still dealing with that old sinful nature. And we read about it last week in Galatians chapter 5, that the Spirit is contrary with that old sinful nature. They are working against each other. They are in conflict with one another. But you don't have to live that old life anymore. No, if you'll walk in the Spirit, if you are led by the Spirit, the Bible tells us very plainly in Galatians 5:16, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. You don't have to live that old life anymore. And I want to encourage you and challenge you this morning to make that choice. You see, when he says live by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, it is a choice that you have to make. You can still live the old life. But why would you want to when God has something so much better for you? He wants us to learn to live by the Spirit. It's something that we choose to do. You know, I ask, why would anybody want to still live that old life, that old nature? Well, one reason is it's what we're used to. It's what we know. And most of all, there's that draw of those old carnal, sinful desires. But God has something better for us. To live in the Spirit is true freedom. It is to live in God and Him and us. And it is to live the life that we have been created to live as a new creation in Christ. Why would anybody want to still live in all that old bitterness and hatred and strife and conflict and anger and sadness? Why would anybody still want to live in that when God has something so much better for us? C.S. Lewis said, our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition, when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea, we are far too easily pleased. C.S. Lewis frames it this way. Oh yeah, there's those desires of the flesh. But the bigger problem is that we don't desire the things of the Spirit enough. That if we really go after God, how much better, how wonderful, why would anybody settle for the things of this world, the things of the flesh? Galatians 5:22 tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Anybody like joy? Yes. Three of you. The rest of you, I'm telling you, you need to get it this morning because it's good. Amen. Anybody want more joy? I want more. Yes. How about you? Amen. We want more joy. Some people seem like they just kind of like that old gloom and doom, despair and agony on me. Anybody know that song? I can sing it for you. I won't. I'm going to do you all a favor this morning. I don't want to steal your joy. But you need to understand this about joy, that joy is not the same thing as being happy. And a lot of people get confused about this, and you need to really get a hold of this morning, because you're always going to struggle if you think joy is the same as being happy. Happiness is too dependent on what happens. You get a brand new car, happy. Hey, if you get a brand new car and you're not happy, take it back, all right? But you get happy, you get a brand new car, you're happy, and then somebody keys your car, not happy. Happiness is gone when somebody keys your car, because happiness is from something that happens. It's cause and effect. We can see it. We know where it came from. Happiness is so fickle. One minute you're happy and the next minute you're not. You're thinking minute to minute. Yeah, sometimes it's just that way. One minute you're happy, the next minute that you're not. Your baby finally goes to sleep, and now you have a few minutes alone and you smile at each other, happy. And then you hear the baby cry, and you want to cry too. Happiness just went right out the window. I'm just telling you, it happens all the time. We're watching our favorite team play in the championship. They're going to win it all. They're ahead. We're so excited. We're up yelling at the TV. And then there's a bad call or a botched play. And now we're yelling at the TV, but we're saying different things. Happy. Oh, how it is fleeting. It doesn't last. That's not what we're talking about when we talk about joy. That's happy. And so many people in our society today, that's all they want is just to be happy. And they pursue after it and they run after it, and yet it always outruns them. Chasing after happiness is like chasing after the wind. You know, in our country, you are entitled to the pursuit of happiness. And for most people, that always is just around the corner, just over the next hilltop. When I finally get this, when I finally have that, when I achieve this, when this happens in my life, then I'm finally going to be happy. And the problem with pursuing that happiness is that even when you finally get what you thought was going to make you happy, it doesn't make you happy for long. There's always something else. And life is full of ups and downs and struggles, and so often that happiness goes just as quickly as it comes. But because of this pursuit of happiness, you see, it is very much like what 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about, that men will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Well, they're lovers of happy. And they're pursuing after it for all they're worth. And here's the problem with that, is that when you allow happiness to become a god in your life, you make your choices based on what makes you happy. And in the pop theology of the day, some Christians have become so deceived that they think that if they tell themselves, well, this would make me happy, that automatically makes it God's will. And I'm just telling you that it is a strong deception, where so many people running after happiness, and it gets them out of the will of God because they base their decisions just on what will make them happy, instead of living by the Word of God, instead of being led by the Spirit. Yes. Oh, how we need to know what joy is. And I want to say, you know, happiness is about circumstance, and It's when you feel good about your situation. And all of us go through some times that are not happy. All of us deal with things in life that even bring sorrow and trouble and heartache to us. Joy is more than that. It's something that happens on the inside. It comes from the inside. But I do want to say to you that for every Christian, there is a reason that in every situation and circumstance of life, even in the hardest places in life, we still have something to be happy about. The Bible says in Psalm 144 and verse 15, happy are the people who are in such a state. Here's our situation. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Because no matter what else is going on in our life, our God, He's the Lord. He's still with us. He's still God. And so we've always got something to be happy about. But understand this. Happiness comes from the outside. It's external. Joy comes from the inside. It's something that happens on the inside of you. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It is the evidence of a Spirit-led life. When we're walking in the Spirit, let me phrase it another way. When we're walking with the Lord, I want to say it that way because sometimes people kind of put the Spirit as this kind of strange, mystical thing. The Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. It's Jesus with us by the Spirit. And when we're walking in the Spirit, we're walking with the Lord. We're being led of the Lord. We're in a constant relationship with Him. So joy is a fruit of that life. It is a natural product of walking with the Lord, walking in the Spirit. It doesn't come from jokes. I like jokes. That's not where joy comes from. It doesn't come from a good laugh. I like to laugh. Laughter, the Bible says, does good like a medicine. It's a good thing to laugh. But that's not where joy comes from. No, it comes from the inside when we are walking in the Spirit. It comes from the Lord. Amen. It's not just, I want you to hear me now. See, we're talking about joy, having joy. You ought to have it. Amen. But it's not something that we just grit our teeth and smile because, bless God, we're supposed to have joy. That's not joy. And we don't need any fake smiles. No, we need the kind of joy that causes us to smile. Even when we are going through hard places in life, that we still have the joy of the Lord. Joy runs deeper than a smile because it's from the inside out. I've known some religious people that had the bad fruit of grumpy. Anybody know grumpy? Who came with grumpy today? Some of you looked at grumpy in the mirror this morning. You remember grumpy is one of the seven dwarfs, right? Grumpy was, well, that was just his nature to be grumpy. And you see, when we're grumpy, that's our old nature. That's not the new nature. And sometimes we just, like we talked about love last week, sometimes we just try to pull off the bad fruit and we pretend the good fruit. But no, it's something that happens in us naturally, supernaturally, that is, when we walk in the Spirit and we're really walking with the Lord, there's going to be that fruit of joy. Now, if you're having a really bad day, you know, going through a hard time or maybe a hard season in life, those happen. And somebody comes along with a cheesy smile and they say, well, just rejoice in the Lord, brother. That doesn't help. Amen? I mean, most of the time that doesn't help. You know, we need to be careful that when somebody's down, we respect that and we understand that and we weep with those who weep. That's what the Bible says. Weep with those that weep. But at the same time, we want to try to encourage and lift them up in a way that they can receive. But I just want you to understand that the message this morning is in no way is intended to make anybody feel like, well, you ought to have more joy. What's wrong with you? That's not the message this morning. The message is that God wants us to have more joy. And if we learn to walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, there's joy that's available that comes to us. And it's not worked up and it's not pretend. It's real from the inside out, and it's for every single one of us. You know, joy is one of the most famous Christian characteristics. The early church had great joy, and the world saw it. And down through church history, there have always been those believers who, even in times of persecution and hardship, yet their joy remained. And oh, how we need that in our culture today. The world needs to see that Christians have joy, no matter what's going on. We're not like the world. No, we got the joy of the Lord no matter what is happening in our world, because our joy is not dependent upon circumstance. It comes from our relationship with Jesus. The sad thing is that a carnal Christian still living that old life, see, you got to choose to walk in the Spirit. Still living that old life, they have no joy. They still get eaten up with all of that anger and bitterness. That's not what God wants for you. He wants you to have joy in your life every day. And you know what? When we act like that, when we don't have that joy, I'm telling you, nobody wants what we have. But what a great witness it is when people see that our joy is real, even in the hard times. I mean, anybody can be happy when everything's going right for them. But when they see that even in the worst of times, you still have victory, you still have joy, they want what you have. John 15 and 11, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Now, there's several really powerful things that Jesus says here. But first, we need to see that Jesus had joy. He said, "My joy, that my joy might remain in you." My joy. Speaking about Jesus is a prophecy in the Psalms, and then it's repeated in Hebrews 1 and 9. It says, "Your God has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." Jesus had such an anointing of joy on him, it set him apart. It set him above his companions. We need to know this. Yes, Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, but he still had joy. Such an anointing on him that it set him apart. Jesus had joy. He still has joy. Amen. And then it says that my joy may remain in you. Jesus wants his joy to be in us. Again, this was not written for the disciples, but rather it was recorded for you and me. He wants his joy to be in us. And then he says that your joy might be full. Listen, Jesus wants your joy to be full. That's a good word. I mean, if you didn't get anything else this morning, you ought to hear that, that Jesus wants you to have joy. He doesn't want you to be sad and depressed and down. He wants you to have his joy. There is joy that's available in Jesus. He said these things. "These things I have spoken to you." You know what? A lot of the time when you're going through a battle, a dark place, a hardship, you know what you really need? You need to hear from God. Think about this. This was just before Jesus was to be betrayed and taken away from the disciples. And he's preparing them for what's about to happen. And he himself is about to go through some terrible things. But he's talking about his joy. "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." They were going to go through some sorrowful things, but they were going to come out on the other side in great joy and victory. And I'm just telling you that many times when we are going through some things, you know what we need? We need a word from God. "These things I've spoken unto you." Sometimes, you know, you're facing difficulty and challenges. You just need to hear from God. And as you're walking with the Lord, you see, you stay in tune with the Spirit. This so often, that's when God speaks to us. "These things I've spoken to you." What specifically was he talking about when he said that to the disciples? John 15, 11. So we just back up for the previous 10 verses. In the whole 10 verses, he's talking about abiding in him and bearing fruit. Because when we abide in him, we bear much fruit. Apart from him, we can do nothing. But the whole 10 verses, he's talking about that relationship of that he's the vine and we're the branches. And I'm telling you this morning that if you're going to have joy, it all comes from your relationship with Jesus. He is the source of joy, not the circumstances, not everything going right. I'd just like to know this morning, how many of you is everything going right in your life? Oh, somebody. No, surely somebody, you just don't want to brag. No, but most of us, we have battles and struggles all of the time. And sometimes, man, well, it can be tough. But our joy doesn't come from the circumstance. It comes from our relationship with Jesus, that we're abiding in him. Some missionaries years ago went to northern Alaska, and they were trying to translate the scripture into the language of some Eskimos that live there. And as oftentimes is the case, there were some words that they just couldn't find an Eskimo word to match. And joy was one of those words. They didn't really have a word in their language for joy. And so they spent some time with them, and they were watching the Eskimos, and they noticed that one of the most joyful times was when they would feed their sled dogs. The dogs would all come running around with tails just wagging. And so they realized that's the word we're looking for. And so when they translated it, when the scripture said joy in that Eskimo language, it said tail wagging. Now, I don't know about you, but every dog I've ever had, if I just look at them and hold my hand out, just say one little word, just smile at them, their tail starts doing this. You know why? It's that relationship. You know, it's one of the wonderful things about dogs. You cat people, I don't know about you, but one of the wonderful things about dogs is, you know, you're just halfway good to a dog, and they will love you, they will die, they'll do anything for you. They get such joy from you showing them just a little attention, a little affection. And you see, what we need to understand from that is that our joy is in our relationship with Jesus. I realize that that example's just a little out there, but I'm telling you, that's where our joy comes from. Jesus. Being with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Walking with the creator of the universe, the one who has all power, the one who loves me, knows everything about me, yet he loves me. The one who's with me all the time, he never leave me nor forsake me. He's always there. That's where my joy is. Even in the hard times, Paul and Silas had joy even when they were persecuted. Jesus said we should jump and leap for joy when we're persecuted. Well, I don't know if I was talking to American Christians. Paul and Silas were ministering to people, helping people. Lives were being changed. They cast the devil out of a young lady, and it made some people mad who were profiting from her demon possession. And so the magistrates took Paul and Silas, and they commanded that they should be beaten. And the Bible says they were beaten until they had many stripes. There were marks all over their body from being beaten. Then they throw them into a dungeon. So what did Paul and Silas do? They didn't moan, they didn't cry, they didn't complain about how they're being mistreated just for doing good. But instead, the Bible says that they began to lift songs of praise to God. Amen. They began to pray and to praise the Lord, to sing praises to God. and God caused an earthquake that place was shaken. They didn't leave, though. They didn't leave until they told them they could leave. But here's what I want you to see, is that even in the midst of this terrible situation and after being beaten, they still had joy. I want that kind of joy. That no matter what I'm going through, I still got joy. Nothing's going to steal my joy because my joy is in Jesus and not in my situation, my circumstance. Listen to what Peter says about our relationship with Jesus. It's 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. See, we don't see him, but we love him. We believe. Rejoice with joy inexpressible, unspeakable. There are no words. You can't even describe this joy that we should have in our relationship with Jesus. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. We haven't seen him, but we love him. We believe and we rejoice in him. Psalm 16 and 11 says, in your presence is fullness of joy. Oftentimes we talk about that verse when we talk about heaven, or we talk about that verse when we come together as the people of God to praise the Lord, and God's presence is so evident in our midst. But it ought to be that way in our life every day. We're walking in the Spirit. We're walking with God. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. That's where our joy comes from. It's from the Lord. Walking and talking with him. And you know, when you're walking with the Lord, when you're abiding in him, I'm just telling you, then something happens in your mindset. You get a new perspective on life. And we're going to go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. And it tells us something about walking in the Spirit, living by the Spirit. It says, those who live according to the flesh, that old nature, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. In other words, they just look at things in the natural. They see the circumstances and the way things are, and their minds are all about the things of the natural, of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they have their minds on the things of the Spirit. In other words, when you're walking with the Lord, when you're walking in the Spirit, you don't just look at things in the natural, but you see things from a different perspective. Everything looks different when you realize that God, the Holy Spirit, is with you, that he's in you. I mean, when you're walking with the one who can do anything, there's sickness, there's problems, we got a healer. A great battle arises against you. We sang it this morning. The battle is the Lord's. Lord, this is your battle. Lord, I trust in you. See, everything looks different when you're really walking with the Lord. When we allow our minds to shift over to the things of the flesh, to natural things, we lose our joy. We get upset. We get bitter over things. Most of us, if you've served the Lord very long, you've had this happen in your life where there were some terrible circumstances, some difficulty that came your way, and you went to church, and whether it was a word that you got from the pulpit or something that the Holy Spirit just spoke to you, or maybe you didn't even recognize a particular word that God gave you, but just something happened on the inside of you, and all of a sudden, you've got victory. All of a sudden, even though nothing has changed in your situation, all of a sudden, you have joy. Amen. Now, that doesn't have to be at church. That can happen in your own personal devotional time. As you're walking and talking with the Lord, and you're going through this terrible difficulty, and all of a sudden, you got your mind on God, and you're listening to him, and all of a sudden, the joy comes on you. You realize that it's going to be all right. You realize God's going to make a way. Amen. Jesus, always our example. Jesus was acquainted with grief. Jesus wept. Jesus grieved over Jerusalem. And there are times that we grieve. There's times when we have sorrow. But as we look to Jesus, we can learn something about how to overcome and have joy. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus. Oh, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. The author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, it's a matter of perspective. It's getting your mind on the right things. Jesus went through so much, but he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. See, we can't just be in the moment, in this instance, in this second minded. We've got to see beyond that by faith to see that God is doing something, that God is not lost. No. Right. Oh, Jesus endured it all for the joy that was set before him. And I'm telling you, when we have negative thoughts, we got to focus our thoughts back on Jesus. Jesus, even in the midst of hardship, you see, we can have joy. In 1 Thessalonians 1:6, it tells us, Paul's writing to the Thessalonians, and he says this, he says, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Now, these people were being persecuted because they had received the word. And yet he says to them, you received it in much affliction with joy. Even when you are going through a hard time, you can still have that joy. Oh, how we need to know this. One of my least favorite passages of scripture is James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And I'm learning, there's probably going to come a day when I really, really, really like this passage, but it's just hard. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I've always had a hard time with that, going through some big trial. You know, it can be in your finances, it can be at your workplace, it can be in your marriage, it could be in your health. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes it seems like it's all at once. You're going through all kinds of trials and you're going to count it joy. But here's what we need to get. You see, the very next thing he says is knowing this. You got to have a different perspective. You can't just look at the trial, but you got to see beyond that with eyes of faith. Knowing this, that the testing of your faith is going to bring about perseverance. I know that translation says patience, but perseverance is a far better translation of that word. That it's going to bring about this character of just keeping on going. And that perseverance is going to bring about you being mature and complete, not lacking anything. But here's the point, is that we have to have that perspective that as we're walking with the Lord, we're not just looking at this test and trial as something that's going to defeat us, but it is merely a testing, a trying of our faith, that we're going to come out on the other side in victory. God is working something greater in our life, and we don't have to lose our joy over it. No, we can count it joy because our God is bigger than that battle. Our victory, it's already been won. In John 16:24, Jesus says to the disciples, he says, until now you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. He says to ask in his name. We go to God not in our own righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus. And we ask. We ask in his name. And Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, you're going to have it, that your joy might be full. This is one of those verses that people will often abuse, take out of context, try to use it just to get their own selfish desires. But Jesus is telling us, you see, when we're going through a great battle, great difficulty, we have this power of prayer. And this is our perspective. You see, whatever we're dealing with, we're not hopeless. We're not beyond God's help. Oh, we're going through this, but we can pray. I'm telling you, as long as you know that God answers prayer, you don't ever have a reason to give up your joy. He says, pray in my name that your joy will be full. Heaven is full of power, full of miracles, full of answers to prayers. But we got to pray. We got to believe. This joy, I'm telling you, it is part of the Christian life. Ours is not a powerless religion. Romans 15 and 13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You see, when we have that mindset of hope, whatever you're going through right now, whatever battles come tomorrow, we have this mindset of hope. Amen. We're not giving up. No, it fills us with hope or with joy and peace in believing. We're believing God. We're standing in faith. So we're not giving up our joy. That is the perspective of somebody that's walking in the Spirit, somebody that is walking with the Lord, always listening to the Lord. No, we don't give up our joy. We have a different perspective on things. And last, if we're going to really see this joy blossom and develop in our life, we need to cultivate it. We need to allow the Spirit, that Spirit, to flow through us. We need to allow joy to flow through us. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20 says this, don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now he says, be filled with the Spirit. If you look at the Greek word here for filled, it is not a one-time event. It is a process. He's saying, be being filled. Keep being filled with the Spirit. And then he says, he doesn't just tell you to do that, but he tells you how. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You see, if we're going to walk in the Spirit, this is one of the things that we're supposed to do all the time. Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I have watched this change. One of the advantages of being old, all right, you get to see some things. I have watched this change over the last 30 to 40 years. 30 years ago, Christians sang a lot. I think about my father-in-law who walked down the hall of the church singing. When he was hammering something, he'd be singing the whole time. And you know, he hit his thumb and he might miss one note, but he'd go right back to singing. I'm just saying, that's the way he was. Everybody that knew him would say that about him, that he sang all the time. And I'm telling you that 30 years ago, Christians just sang a whole lot more. Now, sometimes we can't even get people to sing in church, much less going through our day, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. See, that's the way it's supposed to be. Now, I will say this, that some of the music that we have today, and you know, we get so used to the instruments and all of that, it can be kind of difficult to sing those songs. But there's a song you can find. There's a song you can sing. I mean, you got to go back to 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus or God Is Good, whatever it takes. But I'm just telling you, we ought to be singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord all the time. Keep the joy flowing. Amen. Don't stop it up. It'll stagnate. What happened to your joy? I don't know. Keep it flowing. Keep it going. Don't let it stop up. And he says, giving thanks for all things. See, we ought to be constantly giving God thanks, being grateful all the time. This isn't just for, you know, that fourth Thursday in November or whatever. This is for every day for us. We're always giving thanks. When we get to grumbling and complaining and talking negative, the joy just goes right out the window. But you stay just walking with the Lord and you just keep giving thanks and being positive. Keep pouring out that joy. Paul says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'm going to say it again, rejoice. I want to tell you something about that word, rejoice. Joy is a noun, right? You turn it into a verb, you just add a couple of letters to it. You turn it into a verb, it's the same word. It's just the verb form of the word joy. It is rejoice. It is to express that joy. And the Bible gives us this as a command. Rejoice in the Lord always. Not just when the circumstances are good, not just when things are going right. And Paul writes it from prison. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And we got to allow that joy to keep flowing through us. We got to express that joy. Don't just hold it in. I'm not talking about fake joy. I'm not talking about just doing something on the outside, but I'm talking about expressing that joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. You got something to rejoice about, even if the only thing you can find to rejoice about someday is the fact that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. God has done something for each and every one of us, and most of us, He's done a whole lot for things that we need to be expressing thanksgiving and praise to Him and rejoicing about. Psalm 126 and verse 3 says, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. If we just focus on the things that God has already done for us. And I say this with the heart of a pastor this morning, because I know that all of us deal with things. All of us go through times that could steal away our joy if we allowed it. But we need to focus on Jesus, our relationship with Him. And we need to keep our mind right, keep our mind on the things of God, the mighty God that we serve. And we need to keep expressing that joy back to God in rejoicing and praise and thanksgiving. And I tell you, you can have this joy in your life each and every day, the joy of the Lord. That joy, it'll give you strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Stand with me. We're going to pray.